Coming from the city of New York, where if you lived there before or if you visited in any extensive way, you're not supposed to know your neighbors. I lived in a co-op area where there were six buildings, and each building had 21 stories, and each story has six apartments, big apartments. Nobody ever tried to get to know anybody. See, there's a reason for that. It's not just because the New Yorkers are snobs or anything like that. They're not. They're just people, just like the rest of us. But once you get to know somebody, and the wall's about this thin, all right, and they see you come and go all the time, you lose your privacy. So sociologically, there's a reason why they don't. They purposely don't. They might get to know other people. They don't get to know the person next door. So when you move into a place, the first thing that we do here in the South and in Texas is, you know, we bring a dish, you know, to someone who's coming, right? People move in, we say hello, we welcome them, we bring them over. No, 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 you don't do that. So how do you minister to neighbors then? You know, is it geological? I mean, in the sense of wherever you are from, or is it sociological? Is it from different countries and cultures? But the Bible is not about that. It's for all people. So when it says that, it means something very precious. What if God's people loved their neighbor? What if we loved our neighbor? So today, with the short time we have, I want to share with you some thought. I love this little cartoon, right? I just love it. I've heard a friend of mine who even said this about church. I love the church. It's the people I can't stand. He was the pastor of his church. I won't tell you who it is. But you know, yeah, we talk about loving people, loving mankind, loving, but we don't really. And this cartoon states it so well. Let me share with you three thoughts from this passage, just really important. First thought is priorities. I'm amazed at how celebrities and some of the politicians of today, it's amazing what they can do. You go out there and all the reporters come and stick a mic in front of your mouth, you know, whoever they may be. And they begin to bombard you with questions. And now with social media, you got the videotape there, you got the cell phones there. You say something, boom, it's there. It can go viral in a second, right? Millions of hits within hours, possibly, depending what you say. I don't know how they can even handle that. Amazing that they can. I think a lot of them can't. That's what they were doing to Jesus, just without the videotaping and all. Here he is, he's answering questions. They just want to trip him. They keep asking him questions so that they can accuse him, convict him of all kinds of stuff, right? Of course, the Lord Jesus is the Son of the living God. He knows all this stuff. I'm sure back then, he knows all about the videotaping and social media of today even, right? Because he's God, of course. So he can handle himself. But that's what they were trying to do. And so in this particular scene, this scene here, they were trying to do one thing. They were trying to get him to say something that will allow them then to convict him. You know, they did everything they could. So they asked him basically this question. Jesus, what is the priority of your life? What is the most important thing? Now, I don't know if you ever thought about that in your life. I don't know if you have ever opened up your book and maybe on a sheet of paper, begin to write down, you know, what's the most important thing in my life? Maybe you just got married and you say, okay, husband, okay, wife, let's see what we should do. Or you get your family together and you say, what's the most important thing for us as a family? You begin to write those things down. Priorities. What would it be? And they're anticipating all kinds of stuff. Oh, we got to obey the laws, you know. We got to make sure we do this and that and whatever it is. But Jesus doesn't do that. He goes right to the heart of it. He summarizes life. And I think this is really good for us. He takes all the priorities of everybody, you know, any country that you're from, whatever culture setting it is. He summarizes it and puts it to the place where we can all understand it. Now, when you look through cultures, there are different priorities of life. I know with a lot of our Asian community here, sitting right here, a big priority is education, right? That's what you do. You move your family to a particular town, a particular part of Houston, because they have a good school system. Nobody ever says, I love that terrible school system, I want to move there. You don't do that. You look at, I remember researching some of the neighborhoods in Houston and looking at the standards and stuff of the schools that are around. There'll be like 89 percentile, 93 percentile, on and on and on. And I know in Sugar Land, in Katy, and in some of the places you guys are from, top of the line. And that's where we move people in. Nothing wrong with that. Don't even think that there's something wrong necessarily, but those are the priorities of our lives. And sometimes, you know, we move to a certain city because that city's got a nice living culture. They rank it all the time, you know, and the cities in Texas, actually usually three or four of them are top 10 every single time, and Houston being one of them. That's what we do. That's not what God does. That's not what God does. God said this. The Lord Jesus said, all right, you want to know what's the most important thing? What is the greatest command? You know, he goes on and he says, love the Lord your God. That's the number one command. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He didn't just say one thing. He emphasized that with all, every bit of it. You know, heart, you can say whatever it is a seed of our lives. It is something that we believe in. That's what we make decisions about. Your heart is where you need to have a passion for God. All of it, every bit of it, not a little bit of it. I always remember this illustration. I was a teenager. I heard Ron Hutchcraft give, you know, says you go out and buy a car, you know, come back a week later, you come and pick it up, and the guy comes out with a steering wheel and a brake pad. He says, here's your car. He said, what are you talking about? Where's the rest of my car? That's kind of what we do with God. We give him a steering wheel and a brake pad. The rest of it, oh no, God, you can't have that yet because that's still mine. Well, that doesn't work that way. And Jesus said, all your heart, every bit of it. And that you got to be passionate for God. Let me tell you something about love. It doesn't take very long for me or for a lot of you, maybe all of you, to know whether somebody loves somebody else. It doesn't take very long. I'm not talking about the mushy feelings, you know. I know teenagers, they're dating, maybe even young people, and they get infatuated and they're all over each other. And well, that's love. I'm not so sure about that. But if you're around people long enough, you can know whether a husband loves his wife, a wife loves his husband, whether children love their parents. It doesn't take very long because the passion that's in their heart just oozes out. It's all there. You know, you don't hide passion. Even in a very East Asian culture where we don't want to, you know, divulge our emotions, even in a culture like that, it doesn't take very long for someone to know that someone loves somebody. If you love God, it doesn't take very long, too, for people to know that. Because you have a passion for him. It's not talk. It's your life. You almost sense it, you know, you just sense it. And if you love God, let me tell you, you can't trick anybody. And you're certainly not going to trick God. He says, love him with all your heart. And then it goes to your personality. Talk about your soul, you know. We have different personalities. We have different emotions. We have all kinds of stuff. It comes out of that too. I love God with all my soul, my personality, my willingness to feel for him. Of course, some cultures, some people, they control it a bit more, but nevertheless, it still comes out. And especially when it comes to singing, you know, when you love the Lord as you're singing, my goodness, it comes out. It doesn't mean you have to raise your hand. Some people do it. Raise your hand to the Lord. Some people just cry. There's so many times when I can't control my tears. I don't cry. I'm not a crier. But when I worship the Lord, it comes. I gave that up long ago, trying to fight it back. It's all there. And then it says, with all your mind, even mentally, you're thinking about God. You want to talk about loving God? This is the most important thing in your life. The priority number one is to love God with all your heart, passionately, making choices for God with your soul, with your personality, emotion, and with your mind. You want to learn everything about God. Let me tell you something. I love Barbara so much. I know her. I know what makes her tick. I know what causes her to be happy. I know what causes her to be not happy. I do. There are some little things here. They don't have to be the big things, you know? I just know it. And every single day, I love her more because I get to know her more like that. That's God. That's what happened. What is it? And so this is important because he links the second thing, which is what we are focused upon today. He links the second thing and he said the second is like it. Oh my goodness, it's like it. The second is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? God, what are you talking about? I can love you. I can do everything like that for you. But my neighbor, first of all, who is my neighbor? What is my neighbor? I live in New York City. My neighbors, I can't know. Now, you remember, there's other places in the Bible we can read too. You remember the parable of the Samaritan. We call it the Good Samaritan, but it's just called a Samaritan. You remember that? And the purpose there's so many things that's out of there. But the purpose there, one of the things that we find is that your neighbor is anybody. Anybody. Now, we have enemies in our lives. You do. Even if you're a godly person, there are people that, it's your enemy. We have friends in our lives. We have family members in our lives. And there are the neighbors. Who are they? Well, this Samaritan met up with a person that he knows nothing about. A person that has needs. That a person that can't give him back anything whatsoever. A person that only can drain his resources, his time, his energy, and perhaps even bring danger to him. That is his neighbor? What kind of neighbor is that? So we want to know what is a neighbor, go there and you find out what it is. And I love that video we just saw, you know. It relates to all these people out there. People are our neighbors. They are the ones that God says is your second priority in life. You need to love them. First one is love God with all your heart, your passion, your soul, your personality, your emotion, your mind, your thought patterns, your choices, all those things. The second thing is just like the first. Wait a minute. Just like the first. I have to love my neighbor with my heart, my soul, and my mind too. That's right. That's right. That means you got to be passionate for people. Not just people that love you back. Not just people that's living in your household. Not just people that are in this room, in this church. You have to love people. Is that possible? With your heart. Oh yeah, oh yeah, it is possible. If you don't believe it, just read up on all these people in the past. We talk about people like George Mueller last week. We talk about different kinds of people, you know. They love their neighbors. And then with the personality, the emotions, they go out there. I mentioned Jim Elliot before. I think about that and I think, what is the ultimate of love? There he is with the other guys, standing on the river. And there are these Alka Indians with the spears coming at them. There they have with their rifles. They can kill them. They can hurt them. They can stop them. But because they love their neighbors, because they were determined that they were going to love on them, they shot the rifles in the air and they essentially put it down and let those spears come through their bodies. My goodness. That's priority number two. What? What is this about? Second thing I want to share with you is why? Why? You know, one of the things that we need to understand about this universe, about God, about the Word of God, is this. Why is God so determined that the two most important things in life is to love Him and then to love our neighbors? We can make it short to love God, love people. Why? Because they're the only two things that are eternal. Our God is eternal. He's an eternal God. And he made people and they're eternal. Everything else about life is not. Your work is not eternal. I know you may love your job, and I hope you do. It's great to work in a job you love, you know? Every single day you get up in the morning, you say, I love going to work. That is awesome, great. You can love your church here. There's so many things you can love, but it essentially comes back to people. They're eternal. And so when God says, when the Lord says, you know, these are the two most important things, and everything else, everything that you read about in the prophets and the Word of God, they hang on these two. It is about loving God, being passionate for God, and then being passionate for people, because they are eternal. And sometimes, you know, we focus on so many things, projects of our lives, even church, you know. There's a lot of things we can do. Even buildings in church, you know, where we minister, that's all good. But we can't forget people. That's the why. That's why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to build some buildings or to make your life better. No, he came to save us, to save people. For God so loved the world, that he loves people. And you remember, we went through the book of Revelation already, you remember that this earth itself, it's going to be burnt away. It's going to be gone. And so it is the importance of our choices is not going to be on even saving the earth. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be responsible, shouldn't be, taking care of things that God has entrusted us. Certainly we do. But it's always about people. And that's the why of everything. This month, we're focused on ministry, and on the 22nd, after church, which is 3 weeks from today, there'll be a ministry fair. I hope you guys can come to that. I hope you guys make an effort to say, I'm going to stay in church a little longer, I'm going to go to the FFC, we're going to look at the possibility. Ministry is about ministering to people. That's what it's about. It is about doing things that can touch lives, change hearts. It is doing things that will bless God and love on God by loving on people. Why? People are eternal. They are made in the image of God. You and I are made in the image of God. We last forever. And we want to make sure as many as possible, as much and as often as possible, we lead people into saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they can spend the rest of eternity in a great and awesome place called heaven. That's what we want to do. That's why. Now, the third thing I want to share with you is how. How do we do that? Oh, we can just go on weeks and weeks as to how, but in this passage, I just want to share with you the two things that were stated by Jesus. First of all, he says the second is like the first. Okay? So how do we love on people? How do we minister to people? How do we care about our neighbor? Well, it's like the first. So that's important. How do we love God? Well, you copy that to love people. You know, I share with you being passionate for God, you know, loving God with all your heart. Well, can you love people with all your heart? And some people are difficult to, absolutely. But can you? You can. You can. And there are people, if you open your life to how God will use you, he's going to bring you to places where you just love on these people. Next week, Barbara and I, we'll be going to Ukraine just for a quick trip, 1 week. And the reason we're going there are multiple reasons, but one big reason is a lady called Diana. We've known Diana since she was like this little. I've known her family, you know. Comes from a really poor family. Father abandoned her and so forth. She got involved in our orphanage. And so she and along with two other orphan girls are living in this house we built a long time ago in Ukraine. She's getting married. She wants me to walk her down the aisle. Never done that because I never had a girl. You think I'm not going? We love these people. We love them so much. Let me tell you something. You can love people. You can passionately love your neighbor. This is a girl 4,000 miles away in Ukraine. Grew up, I don't even speak her language. She barely speaks English right now, but she's a Russian. She's half Tajikistanian, I think. She looks kind of like some of you here. She's a halfie. We love Diana. And we would do anything that we can for her. She's not the only one. There's a bunch of people, not just in Ukraine, in the Philippines, in the United States, places that God gives you the capacity to passionately love your neighbor. He does. And let me tell you something. When you do, you lose nothing. And sometimes we think, oh, we always have to give up this. No, you give up nothing. What you get back is phenomenally more than what you could ever give. So, you know, you love neighbor, your second, it's just like the first. You can love God that way. Guess what? God then gives you the capacity to love people that way because people are made in His image. You can love them with your emotions. You can love them with your mind. You can make choices in their lives. It's possible. And then the second thing it says, not only that, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Oh my, oh my, oh my. So the parable of the Samaritan, he's looking at this guy that's all beaten up down there, downcast, nobody cares about him, everybody's walking around him, he stops, he's thinking, all right? There's a parable, I understand. He's thinking, what if I was there? Wouldn't I want someone to care about me? Wouldn't I want somebody to make a difference in my life? Wouldn't I? Use that as a metric. If you are down and out, you've been flooded out, all right, in this storm, what would you wish people would do for you? A word of encouragement? You know, if you're there in need, or if you're there just minding your own business, what would you wish, you know? Do that. So simple, isn't it? See, Jesus asked about priorities, and that's what he said. Love God with all your heart. And so sometimes when someone asks me, you know, I have a few things I can just spew out, you know, it's very simple. What's the priority of the church? It's going to be love God, love people. That's what it is. I bring you back to these verses. And when we talk about other things, how do we minister to people? I go to what, Acts 1:8, you know? Go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. They all relate together. Everything else in the Word of God, if you're a biblical scholar, if you study the Word of God, Jesus is telling you right now that they all hang on these two. And so if you're not a part of ministering, you know, when I describe what ministry is, it's very simple. Just giving of yourself, that's all it is. Ministry can be finances, ministry can be time, ministry can be your energy, your talent, whatever. Just giving of yourself, you know. You stand in the door there, some of you are so awesome. You give out a bulletin with a smile, ministering, you're giving of your time. You just, that's what ministry is. But you do it because you love God. You do it because you love people. I think it's sad that today, so many people are going to church because they want to get something. It doesn't work like that. Mm-mm. Not in the kingdom of God. When you minister, when you give of yourself, when you think about God and love God, when you think about people and love people, guess what happens? You get ministered to because the Spirit of God does that in your life. You can go home and next thing you know, your wife is saying, why do you have such a big smile? She ever said that to you? If you've been ministering, you will. That's just how it works. Because we were made in the image of God. That's how God works. That's how we are. And that's why Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer for a moment as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Gracious Lord, you demonstrated it, you've spoken about it, you lived it. Oh Lord, would you help us to receive it? That you love people. And as we love you, we will too. Thank you so much for your word. In your name we pray. Amen.